If you're injured and need a lawyer,
go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640. More stimulating talk. Get on my knees
and say a prayer, James Brown. And welcome back. Bill Handel here on a Saturday. Phone number 800-520-1534. We still have lines open. We start at the top of the hour, and occasionally we have lines open. As a matter of fact, I don't know if... Yeah, a couple. We're doing pretty well. Thank you. Oh, yes. Welcome back. Handle on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice. Marianne. Hello, Marianne. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hi, Bill.
Yes,
glad
ma'am.
Glad to hear from you. Okay.
Yes, you are.
I was on the 605 freeway going north at night, 8 p.m. at night, and I hit a big child baby seat, a car seat, and next to it, a big black something. I don't even know what it was. And what happened was I would have seen it if it wasn't for the SUV in front of me, that when he swerved over, that stopped me from creating a big crash head on.
Okay, I'm a little confused. So you are driving along at night on the freeway, and you hit a baby seat that was in the middle of the freeway, right?
Right, not head on. On the side of my car.
And what happened? What happened to the baby inside the seat?
Oh, no, there was no baby.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a great story there. This was going to be a great call. You ruined it for me, Marianne. All right.
No, I don't want that. I would have been a nervous wreck.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Anyway,
all right, so we'll take a story not as good. All right, so you swerve, you hit a baby seat, and then there is, and you swerve to get out of the way?
And I went a little bit to the left because there was traffic on the left, traffic on the right, because this was in the second lane from the slow lane. So that's what happened. I couldn't avoid it. No way. It wasn't my fault.
Right.
Okay, I put in a claim in August.
Well, what happened? You put in a claim for what?
Because it's their job to keep the streets.
All right, I know, but what were you put in a claim, and what were you, did you, was your car damaged?
Yeah, $1,000 worth of damage.
Okay, so you were hit by another vehicle, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you have a claim. You have $1,000 of damage. No injury, I'm assuming, right? No dead baby flying around the freeway. Okay, I get that.
No dead baby.
Good. Who did you put a claim? Who did you put a claim with?
With the Department of Transportation.
Okay.
Claims Unit. Okay, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they denied me. They rejected me.
Of course, they denied you.
Yeah. Okay, now this is what I need your advice, because I go by what you say. Okay, it says on the bottom I can bring it to small claims court.
Yeah.
If I go to small claims court, it's going to cost me. So can you let me know what kind of, will I have a chance to go to small claims?
Absolutely not. You have zero chance.
Ain't that mean, huh?
Yeah, it ain't that mean. And you know, wait a sec, and you know why? You know why you don't have a chance? I mean, think of what did Caltrans do wrong? Because someone has to be, for you to claim against someone or some entity, they have to do something wrong. What did they do wrong?
They didn't get out there fast enough from the driver that was ahead of me that might have hit that.
Okay, might have hit that.
So
when they didn't get out there fast enough, were they told that there was a baby seat?
I don't know about
that's right. You don't know. And let's say let's say they were told, and the accident happened 5 minutes after they were told, and they didn't have time to get a truck out there. Let's say they were told, and the truck was on the way out there, and your car got into the accident before they were able to go out there. Do you think you have to have people lined up on the freeway that every time there is a piece of pipe or there's a baby seat, thank goodness empty, or a mattress that flies off on a car, they should be right there, pick it up? Of course not.
No, of course not.
But yeah, no chance.
To this, Bill, since COVID, I have not seen any Caltrans trucks on the freeways. You hardly
out there.
See them. If you go down,
they're out there.
Shouldn't they be out there? They are? Okay,
yeah,
they might be.
Yeah, they might be. They're out.
See.
Yeah. Yeah, well, unfortunately. Okay, yeah, nice talking to you. No chance. It was going to be a good call, but look what happens. No babies flying around on the freeway. Boy, it could get worse. 1 in 4 people had malware installed on their connected device in this past year. And malware captures personal data, turns on your webcam. So here's a way to stay private, more secure in today's connected world. Norton 360. Bottom line, Norton 360 helps keep prying eyes out. And with Norton 360, here's what you get. Real-time protection against existing and emerging threats that could put your personal information at risk, security device, a VPN, virtual private network for online privacy. It uses bank-grade encryption to keep your information, logins, passwords, etc., private, even on public Wi-Fi, even password-protected public Wi-Fi, and a password manager that securely creates, stores, manages your passwords, credit cards, etc., and a SafeCam, which will notify you if cyber criminals are trying to use your PC webcam and watch you stomping around your house naked. No one can prevent all cybercrime, but Norton 360, this is an ally, a powerful ally for your cyber safety. I love it. Get up to 50% off your first year with an annual subscription. Go to Norton.com/handle, Norton.com/handle, Norton.com/handle. This is Handle on the Law. Welcome back on a Saturday morning. Bill Handel here, and the phone number, 800-520-1534. More Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice. Jeff, fairly interesting question. All right, Jeff, what can I do for you?
I'm thinking of selling my home to one of the companies that advertising it, you know, buying it as is. And my question is, how does that affect the California real estate transfer disclosure statement? And what effect does it have on the discovery of any material defects found after the sale?
Oh, first of all, as is as is. And they're buying it just the way it is. Now, you can't commit fraud. You cannot purposely say, for example, hide things, but you can say, listen, I don't know, or you may check this one out. And if someone's died within the last 3 years, you have to tell them because I don't think the as is requirement is eliminated because of that. So no fraud, but as is pretty much as is. And you tell them, check everything out. And that's it. And if you tell them to check everything out, then then it's on them. So I think you're okay. And the depending on the company, it's a decent way of getting out immediately. I think you may lose a little bit of money, but then when you commissions and all that deal with it's depending on how quickly you want your money. Unless you want to just go out of your mind and just stage it, set it up, do all that stuff. Which I have done, and it's a pain in the ass. But anyway, that's it.
Yeah. One quick question. I've lived here quite a while, so I have, I've changed brick borders and stepping stones, and I have quite a big wood pile. Can I leave that on the property, or whose responsibility?
You can leave whatever you want. You can leave whatever you want on the property, and say there it is. You buy it, and then if they want you to move it, then that becomes part of the buy. Becomes part of the of disclosure agreement and becomes part of the terms of the buy. So you just, there it is. Thank you. I'm leaving. And you're fine. Not a problem. All right. Thomas. Hey, Thomas. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
My mother died in October of 2009. I administered her trust for years before that. And only recently did I get a letter from the attorneys that drew up her trust, and they want $12,078.
For what?
I have no idea what this is for. It said BLR Administration for the Estate of Gladys Hamilton. For professional services rendered.
I don't know what BLR
means. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I don't either. BLR, I have no idea what it means, but it's worth calling the attorneys and saying, I don't know when what class they talked about the statute of limitations when you were in law school. You clearly weren't there that day. 11 years is a little bit long to make a claim for fees. You're fine. Just call. You can ignore it. You can call them and say, what does this mean? And they're going to tell you. And then when you say, how about the statute? And they're going to either lie to you or lie to you in the sense of, oh, this is exempt from the statute. There is no statute under these terms. Yeah, there's plenty. That's just, they do that all the time. I've heard that constantly. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
The money has been gone since 2016.
Yeah, I know. Of course. It's been distributed. It's done. It's finished. Of course it's gone since then. No one's going to hang on to money for 11 years just in case some bill comes in from the attorneys that are asking for some money 11 years ago. How long do you hang on to your money? You don't distribute. 20 years? Right. No, you're fine. Just call them up and say goodbye. You are done.
And probably
All right. Betty. Hello, Betty. You're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law. Yes, ma'am.
In 1978, when my husband was 18 years old, he got a DUI in New Jersey. He went
okay, hang on a minute. Hang on. I'm having a hard time hearing you. The line is really murky. You're not on a. Okay, I love these phones. Try it again. Try it again, Betty.
Okay.
No, it's even worse, Betty. You're gonna have to call back. This is just not gonna work. Man, I hate this. Carmen, hi, Carmen.
Good morning, Bill.
Oh, much better. See, that's a line I can actually listen to. Hello, Carmen. What can I do for you?
Can you make out what I'm saying?
Can I make what?
Can you make out what I'm saying? Can you hear
me? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's a great line. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I'm a little bit nervous because I feel like I'm talking to Brad Pitt. I'm such a fan of you.
Of course you are.
I love Legal Leap and I'm such a nerd. I just
yes, you are.
Fun.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. Okay.
No, I just have a general question about internet privacy.
Okay.
And, well, I believe that my phone was hacked at one point. I don't know if it's still hacked. I can't afford to replace it, so I'm stuck with it. And I believe that I was filmed without my consent by some actors that were pretending to be homeless people. I guess they were doing some kind of internet show or something like that. I'm not that familiar with the internet.
Okay, hang on. You know, this is, now this one I have. This is interesting, and you have to explain this to me.
Yeah, I know it's going to sound crazy.
No, it doesn't sound crazy. I just have to understand it. There was an internet show being videoed with homeless people.
No, I'm guessing. I came across some people at a park. I'm homeless myself.
Okay.
And I thought they were homeless, but then I started wondering if they were actors.
I see.
Their behavior, and you know, and I don't know for sure, but I think they had some kind of internet show going on. I don't know if it's out there because I don't have social media. But I believe that I could have been filmed without my consent.
You might have been filmed without your consent. Okay.
Yeah. And the show was sponsored. So my question is, am I entitled to...
I mean, theoretically, if the show made money, but let me ask you a question. Do you know who it was? Do you have any idea where...
No, that's the thing. I don't have any proof so far because I haven't been able to do the research because I'm homeless myself.
But what research? I mean, what do you care?
Well,
I mean, you think they're gonna release it as a major motion picture starring Carmen, the homeless lady?
No, it's one of those videos that they put on.
I understand, and I get it, but you know what do you think is going to happen?
My question is, can you do that legally? Can you film?
Yeah, of course you can do that. There are ramifications if they use it for commercial purposes. You can either do a cease and desist, or if they're making money off of your likeness, then you can file a lawsuit to be compensated for the use of your likeness without permission. But Carmen, you know, I've got to tell you, homeless ladies in parks, no one really gives a damn about.
No, they, I know.
They
that's
really don't. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know,
so
bother me because it might be out there, and I don't know what.
It might be. It might be. But you know, there's also the same day there were 400,000 uploads made. Probably the same hour there were 400,000 uploads made. So that's not going to work at all.
I know.
All right, that's all right. Simon, welcome to Handle on the Law.
Sorry to, I have a couple questions. I was going to ask you one question, but since it's very short, can I make it two?
Very short, you can. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yes. So my property, I don't have a fence. So my first question is, I always see a snake in the area all the time. It looks like the same snake lives in the property in the area. And I am worried that somebody might die or something. Am I going to be responsible?
No. It's a wild snake. You're not making it a pet. Does it do tricks for you? Does it roll over? Do you feed it treats? No.
Well,
is it?
I wish. I'm scared. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. Is it a guard snake? Like a guard dog?
Probably
not. Now, if you guarded your property with a snake as opposed to a dog, and there it was moving around, then probably if someone got bit. But no, it's a wild snake. I don't think I'd worry about it. What is your next question?
Number two is my neighbor actually erected a fence just yesterday, and he didn't talk to me. I didn't see him surveying the property. I'm not sure if he encroached on my property.
Yeah, you have to. Okay, here's the problem. You have to allege that it's on your property. And you have to do a survey to find out. And does he have a survey? Yeah, well, no, not really. You have to. The only way you're going to know is look at the property line, is absolutely look at it. There is a map that's recorded that describes exactly where that property line is. County Recorder's Office, when they first recorded the plan itself, the original plan, and when that lot was sold or the lot was developed or it was entitled, there it is. And if it's any part on your property, you can tell them to move it. If it's all on your property, but you know how much you're talking about in terms of encroaching on your property.
No, I'm not sure if he encroached.
How much
on
have
that,
you, in your opinion? Just... Let me ask you this: in your opinion, let's say he was on your property. How much is he on your property? Do you have any idea where your property line is?
I do know. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think he's on your property?
I don't know. Maybe like 6 inches or something.
6 inches. How big is your property?
Not very big, maybe.
Okay, well, I know 6 inches in certain circumstances is hugely important. I get that. But when it comes to property, maybe not. So, I mean, is it that big a deal? Well, in my life, 6 inches is a huge deal. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer,
go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI, AM 640.
And good morning, Bill Handel here on a Saturday morning. This is Handle on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice. Deborah, you're up. Hello, Deborah. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're okay. Echoey.
I'm driving. I just pulled over.
Those hands-free business is tough. Or, more importantly, okay. I won't deal with them. So go ahead, ask me your question.
Okay. My husband and I were married 29 years ago. About 15 years ago, filed for divorce. We're back together again. Never finalized divorce or split assets or anything like that. What are we right now? Are we married or?
Yeah, you're divorced? Married. Yeah, if you haven't been divorced, okay. You're married. Yeah, it's as if you've been married the entire time you're married. And if you're not going to argue about any financial issues during the time you were separated, there is an issue of claiming separation, sole and separate property, separate earnings. But if you're not doing any of that, yeah, you're still married.
Okay.
So, all right. So here's a very important question. Why would you want to get back together again?
A lot of reasons. I mean, part of it's financial. We're both in I'm almost 60. He's 63. And at this stage, financially.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's sure. Sure. Why not? All right. There was your answer. You're still married, and you know, I feel very sorry for you. Bill, hello, Bill.
Good morning, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Wife and I had a motorcycle accident about 10 weeks ago. We're going about 75 speed limit, and rear tire just disintegrated, and it was at about one-third of its advertised life, made by a reputable company. Wife had about $50,000 in hospital bills. We both had a bunch of broken ribs.
So you're pretty banged up.
Yeah, pretty banged up.
Okay.
The motorcycle insurance seems to be covering most of the medical bills, except for the copays, of course. I did a Google search and found an attorney in Texas that that filed a suit about the same tire, the same thing happening, the same brand and everything, a liability lawsuit. And I have never spoken to him, but his assistant has asked me for pictures and bills.
Yeah.
And this and that, but I've not really gotten anything back from the attorney, and I'm not sure if my wife is more banged up than me. I'm not sure if she's ever going to be 100% of what
okay,
she was.
Okay, so those are pretty serious damage. All right, so what's your question, Bill?
Well, I was wondering, aside from the medical costs and everything, do you think any attorney might be interested in this?
No, I think it's a tough one, and I'll tell you why. Because you're talking about a major company that you're suing, one of the major tire companies, and you're talking about a product defect, product design, negligent design. And when you're talking about those, believe me, they fight those. They don't roll over on those at all. So you're up against a multi-$100 million, if not billion-dollar company. And they are certainly not going to sit there and just write you a check. So it's going to be a fight, and very few attorneys are willing to take that on unless it's a class action. And then you're not going to see any money. If you're really injured, you don't want to do a class action. You want to file individually. So keep on. If you've got an attorney in Texas who has done that, who has filed a lawsuit, product liability lawsuit, yeah, get hold of him and still keep pushing. Send the pictures and say, hey, I haven't talked to the attorney. Just push, push, push. Because I don't know of any attorneys that would deal with it. Although, you know what? I don't think it's wrong or not worth it to go to handleonthelaw.com. We have personal injury attorneys, good ones. And let them take a look, because if there's something already in the works, if he's looking at it and there is already a movement towards bringing in evidence that there's a product liability, there may be something there. Go to handleonthelaw.com, personal injury attorney, and I think you'll get some action. This is Handle on the Law. Welcome. Bill Handel here on a Saturday morning with a legal show. Great stuff going on. Mainly your calls, even though we've got the election coming up, and that is very exciting. I'm going to be talking a whole lot about that, but not today. Today, it's all about phone calls and making your lives completely, totally miserable. Phone number, 800-520-1534, 800-520-1534. This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice, where I tell you, you have absolutely no case. Now, when you go to the polls, even though there's a lot of early voting, and but even final voting date, you're not going to see on T-shirts, on buttons, vote for Joe Biden, vote for Donald Trump. You're not going to see that. Now, there was a story of some people coming into one of the polling places, early voting, that had Black Lives Matter, and the poll worker says you have to turn that inside out. You cannot walk into a polling area within 100 feet and have Black Lives Matter on a T-shirt. You can. The poll worker was wrong, and I think she got fired for it. MAGA hats you're going to see. What you're not going to see is the word Trump. What you're not going to see is the word Biden. That's not allowed. But if you're not mentioning a specific candidate's name, you can say whatever the hell you want. And so you've got MAGA. Black Lives Matters are going to be fine. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It's make America build yourself better. Build better beyond Beyonce. I've always wondered what that was. MAGA, everybody knows about. Biden stuff, they haven't made that big a deal about it. But you will see Keep America Great. You'll see Vote for Science, Build Back Better. I was just joking. Although, you know, for some reason that hasn't really gotten a lot of resonance. And California is where these election rules are really, really strict. And the Secretary of State, Alex Padilla, says state law is clear. You cannot have a candidate's likeness or name. But any other slogan, statement that could and is created for a campaign or a political movement is fine. So that was interesting. And so the people, certainly the Black Lives Matter people, got a little upset, and they should have, because they were following the rules. And that's going to get interesting, is voting day, when this huge influx of people come in. Can't wait to see how many political pieces of clothing and buttons are going to be worn by those people. It's going to give you an indication of who is engaged more. And I'm willing to bet that it's going to be the president's people that are far more engaged and far more exercised about their candidate and what's going on. Yep. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Gail, let's start with you, Gail. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hi, Bill. I'm getting ready to rent out my investment property to traveling nurses. And the property is in my trust, and I'm just worried about liability. Somebody told me maybe I should put it in an LLC.
Yeah, you could. I mean, yeah, theoretically you could, but just get lots of insurance. I mean, you put it in an LLC, you now have a company, right, that has to file its own taxes, that has to pay a minimum amount of taxes on top of you paying taxes. I don't think it's worth it.
They can't come after me.
Yeah, they can. Absolutely, they can. Oh. Yeah, if it's the only way it's they can't come after you if it's in an irrevocable trust. And very few people put those in there. So yeah, I just overinsure myself, and you're much, much better off. All right, Dave. Hello, Dave. You're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law. Yes, yes.
I have a case. I was driving down the highway, and a truck was in front of me, and the stone came off the top of the truck, went right through my rear window. I wrote down the name of the truck, address. I checked with insurance. They don't pay for that. I paid for $300.
Yeah.
Sent a letter to the company saying, this is what happened. Please send me a check. Of course, they ignored it. I can go to small claims court. I had two questions. One, is there any way I can find out that other people have had this happen to them by that company?
No, probably not. And what difference does it make whether other people have had it happen to them or not? That's not going. Matter of fact, that's irrelevant to your case.
Right. And the other thing is, you think I'd have a chance of winning?
Yeah, I do. Especially if you have, this is the kind of truck. This is the driver's, this is the plate. This is when it happened. This time of day. This is where. And the more specific you are and the damage, the more specific you are, then the better chance you have. I mean, there's no question as to negligence. You know, rocks flying off of trucks clearly are they're at fault. However, the argument on the other side would be it was just a rock on the road and it was kicked back by the tire. And then that is, to me, a defense, and a good defense, because a trucker would not be responsible for a small piece, a small rock or a piece of stone that's on the road that kicks back. So that's all he has to say. Now, let's say it's a gravel truck, right? Let's say it's a truck that has stone in it. Then you have a decent shot, because that's what they do. That's not an errant piece of stone. So, yeah, it's worth it. And, you know, it's going to cost you, well, for $300, it's going to cost you, what, $100, $120 to file the lawsuit. And you have to have it served, and that's with the marshal. So it's north of $100. And if you lose because they have a defense, and let's say it's not a gravel truck, it's not a truck that has stones, I don't think you're going to win. It's too easy to have a defense. So, yeah, I don't know if I'd do it for $300. And, you know, obviously your insurance company, if you have any kind of a deductible, is not going to pay. So
they declined the thing.
Yeah, I know. Of course they did. All right. So basically no case. Tom. Hello, Tom. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Good morning, Bill.
Yes, go ahead.
I recently had to call in sick, and my employer will not pay me sick time unless I have a doctor's note. Is that
right.
legal here in
yep,
California?
Totally. 100%. Yep, if that's the policy. First of all, you're not entitled to sick leave. You know, that's not a law. I mean, sick leave is not a right that you have.
Not one day.
Yeah. No. He can absolutely say the only way you prove you're sick is we need a doctor's note. Happens all the time. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Good morning, Bill Handel on a Saturday, 800-520-1534, 800-520-1534, and welcome back, Handle on the Law, Bill Handel here with Marginal Legal Advice. Bob, hello Bob, you're up.
Yes, I was in the Boy Scouts, and when I was fifth or sixth grade, I was sexually abused at a Boy Scout camp, and I filled out forms with a law firm that's part of the class action suit that's advertising, and on that form, it said that I'm entitled to my own attorney.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, do I need my own attorney?
You know, it... probably not, because it's going to get lost in the shuffle. There's going to be a global settlement that's going to be given to everybody. Now, you can get your own attorney, but I don't know if a single attorney is going to take it, because first of all, the Boy Scouts are already into Chapter 11. They've already filed for bankruptcy. And the global settlement is going to cover virtually everybody. Well, it is. It's a global settlement. There'll be some people that'll bail out and want to go on their own, particularly those that have extensive damage. I'm talking about psychological issues that are like beyond the pale, where you can't work, you can't sleep. They're really psychologically not able to function and can be directed towards the abuse that happened when they were younger and a Boy Scout. So I wouldn't get an attorney. I don't know if a single attorney is going to take it. You're part of the if you're part of the lawsuit already, which you are as a class, then the only way you're going to be able to get an attorney is opt out, and they have to tell you that by law. Okay. So my advice is no, and my question is to virtually everybody: am I the only Boy Scout that wasn't abused? I just, it's astounding to me. It really is. And the statute is up. I think you have till the end of November to make the claim or to sign up. And
November 16th.
Yeah, November 16th. And they're pouring in by the thousands a day right now. So you're not going to see the Boy Scouts survive. Certainly not the way it is. It'll go completely under, and then it'll be some other name. And you won't be able to use the word boy, because that is, you can't have, you know, single gender. So it'll be boy, girl, hermaphrodite, trans, Scouts of America. Yeah, it's a tough one. Lorraine. Hello, Lorraine. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Good morning, Bill. I have a question. I have a home in Santa Maria, which is in Santa Barbara County, and I wanted to get it refinanced at a lower rate. Now, the house was purchased in my husband's and my name. Now, he passed away about 2.5 years ago, and I've qualified for the loan on now because our income was the same, whether one's here or two's here. But they're telling me that they're going to pull the title and change it to just my name.
Yeah.
Now, when they pull that, will that automatically get that property reassessed at today's value?
No, because it's an interspousal transfer, and there's exemptions in the law. That is one of them. So you're fine, and it has to go in your name. They're not going to refi it without you owning it solely, because they generally don't refi in the names of dead people. There's just something about, it's difficult to have a legal relationship with someone who's no longer there. They can't sign documents. They can't answer the phone because they're kind of dead. So you're fine. I wouldn't worry about it. It's not going to be reassessed. Paul. Hello, Paul. You're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Good morning, Bill.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. Back in January, I was driving in Nevada, and I was driving faster than they want you to drive, so I got a citation.
Yeah, we call that a speed limit where I come from.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, okay. Faster than they want you to drive. That's another good way of saying, incidentally, speed limit. All right, so you got a ticket for speeding, right?
Oh, all right, yeah. Well, I wanted to know if there wasn't something about a speedy trial. I tried to go make arrangements to go over there to do something about it, and then they covert the virus.
Yeah, the virus hit. They're not taking anybody in person, yeah.
And the court doesn't want to do anything because they're way behind in oil.
Right.
Can I just request that they dismiss it because
it's dry? Sure. Now, is it going to happen? Probably not, because the whole concept of a speedy trial does not take into the aspect of COVID or the fact that it's impossible. I mean, what if you're in Kansas and a tornado takes out the entire courthouse? What do you do? Well, you didn't give me a trial. So that's not going to fly. But you know what? You never, you always have a shot at it. And there could be a judge to go, yeah, it's COVID. We can do the trial by Zoom. We can do a trial distance. There's a bunch of ways of doing it. Go, yeah, it's certainly worth a shot. And you simply write to the judge, the clerk of the court, saying, I'm asking for a dismissal based on the fact that I can't get an early trial. First of all, I think you have to ask for it. And I don't know, I wouldn't even know how to ask for a trial. Then it's probably not a trial at all. It's probably an infraction. And those are, I think, summary proceedings where the same rules don't apply. Infractions are don't hit that level of misdemeanor where all of a sudden you now have the full weight of the entire legal system. They're kind of, okay, here's your ticket. You're up next month. You're up in 2 months. I don't even think the laws work that way in terms of speedy trial. How fast were you going, incidentally?
Oh, well, they said I was going 100.
And how fast do you think you were going?
Oh, probably at least 95 or so.
Oh, there you are. That's a good defense.
I'm not denying I was going fast. Hey, there was 5 miles out in front of me, straight line, downhill, nobody on the road, at all.
There's your defense. That's great. There's your defense. Congratulations. Hey, October, which a few days still left, is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Individuals and organizations are being reminded, if you connect it, protect it. And we're encouraged to take proactive steps to enhance our security, protect our part of the cyberspace. And every day we put our information to risk or at risk on the internet. And just monitoring your credit certainly is not going to cover the risks. So LifeLock, which I recommend, LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And that's the part of the web where the criminals do their thing and buy and sell information. And if you become a victim of identity theft, LifeLock can help you restore your identity easier than you could ever do on your own. And if they detect your information has been compromised, they send you an alert. Now, no one can prevent all ID theft or monitor every transaction at every business, but LifeLock sees those threats. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year by using the promo code HANDLE. Call 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE, or visit LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. This is Handle on the Law. Saturday, Bill Handel here. The phone number to call, 800-520-1534. That's 800-520-1534. And we have a couple of lines open. Actually, three lines open. And if you want to have the kind of advice that I give you, that you shake your head, nodding or shaking, depending on, well, it should be shaking, just call 800-520-1534. Welcome back. This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice where I tell you you have no case. Brian. Hello, Brian. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. I have two questions for you. One, I hired an attorney 2 months ago to represent me at $650 an hour. I feel he wasn't representing me properly, and I fired him 2 weeks ago. His final bill, he's charging me for $65 just for forwarding emails to me, and I didn't even answer it. So it was $65 to forward an email from the other attorney, and also asking me a question and not even answering for that. So every email he's charging me for. Is he allowed to do that on those charges? I'm not disputing the other charges.
Here is the issue, and it's sort of now we're parsing. He can charge you for his time when representing you. He can charge you for any work he does on your behalf. For example, even when you fired him and you say, I want everything sent to me, most lawyers would never charge for that. Here's your file and you're done, and they're not going to charge for that. Now, technically, they could, and this guy is doing that. But if it's a question of forwarding an email, I don't know. At $650 an hour, $60 is every 10 minutes is legitimately what he can charge, right? 10 minutes to forward an email? I think that's stretching it. I wouldn't pay it. Did you get the email?
It was just a forwarding as far as, yeah, I did get the email.
Okay,
yes,
then you're
and
done.
I didn't even answer the email.
Then you don't. Then you ignore him. And if he says, this is over $65, he's harassing you?
No, it's not over $65. It's about $300. And I gave him a $5,000 retainer. So he's going to give me back what hasn't been used, but he's charging me. He's taking the money out of the retainer.
Yeah, so he's charging you $300 that you don't think he deserves?
Not at all. He's forwarding and he's asking me questions, which I'm not even answering. He's not my attorney anymore.
What do you think he's overcharging you, or what would be overcharging you? The $65 or the $300? You were talking about the $300, which I don't understand how that connects.
These emails is a total of $300 at $65 each.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. No, that's so let him pay you the money, and you dispute it instantly. With the bills, you can't ignore it. You have to say, I disagree. You cannot charge me $65 per email. That is egregious. And if he says, well, then I'm not giving you your money until you agree, then you go straight to the state bar with him. Nothing more, nothing less. And you take him to, small claims court on top of that. Because is he going to defend himself for $65 an email? So,
no, I don't feel he will.
Yeah, I don't think he will. Just dispute anything where you think it's where it's unfair, and clearly the way you describe it is totally unfair. All right, David. Hello, David. You're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're interrupting each other. What can I do for you?
Anyway, back in March of this year, I signed up for a who's who. You get one of these plaques, and you know, you're a famous person now. And I, after a couple of days, thought, well, this is kind of silly, paid, you know, being stupid. Anyway, I went to the local police department because of the COVID. They were totally closed. I mean, there wasn't a person who looked in the door. Anyway, I called and talked to them. It took me about a week before I got a call back from them. And they said, yeah, it was a sham and, you know, forget about it. So I called the credit company and told them I didn't want to pay it. And the credit company said, well, why don't you wait a couple of weeks or see what happens? Well, a couple of weeks went by and I received the material and I sent it back. I got a post office deal saying, and I sent it back anyway, and they put the charge back on, and then they sent the material again to me, which I returned again. Then I tore up my credit card and told the credit card I wasn't going to pay it. And they said, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. You still have to pay it.
Yeah.
And,
how much money are we talking about here?
$1,200.
$1,200. Yeah, that's a lot of money. And that is that's pretty much falling for a scam. I mean, it's first of all, you're probably not that famous. Second of all, if you were that famous, you wouldn't have to pay to have people tell you you're that famous. Or you really want to be that famous and you sort of got screwed by this. All right. So your question is, can you get your money back? And
No. I haven't paid them. It's still on the
credit. Oh, I see. Okay. You still say you owe them money. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, still harassing me, and I.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah. Because you owe, because they pay the money to the provider.
Right. So the credit card wants it from me.
Yeah, no kidding. Because they fronted it for you. Yeah, they paid on your behalf. You put it on. You did the purchase.
Yeah, I'm not denying that.
So why don't you think you should pay the credit card company? They should just suck it up.
Because I called the credit card company about a week or two after all this happened and told them I wasn't going to pay.
Yeah, it doesn't, but you know, so what? And it is a scam, but they provided you with the material. The problem is, it's not up to the credit card company to decide what's a scam, what isn't a scam, especially if you're provided the material. So let's say it's $1,200. You know, you only think it's worth $800. You call the credit card company and say, I'm not going to pay the full $1,200. I'm only going to pay $800 of it because that's all this is worth. You got scammed.
Okay.
You got scammed, and you want the credit card company to suck it up for you.
Well, I called the credit card company.
And you disputed it. I understand. You disputed it. They put it on hold while they investigate. So they call the provider of the services who says, yeah, we sent him the material, and he returned it, and we sent it again.
And I returned it again.
It doesn't matter. You still bought it. You bought it, and they provided it.
Okay, let's suppose
you're done. I mean, you're done. I know you want the credit card company to deal with this, but, you know, at some point you have to be responsible for your own stupidity. And it's everybody else is, you know, I don't want to handle it. I don't want to handle it. I shouldn't do it. All right, Michelle. Hey, Michelle, welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
I was shopping at a nationally known supermarket 10 days ago, and I was injured while I was shopping.
How so?
I reached up to the top shelf for a bottle of 1.5 liter Crystal Geyser bubbling water, and when I removed the bottle from the shelf, two other bottles came tumbling down and hit me on the face and you know, stunned me. I mean, I didn't know. I never saw it coming. I was looking at the bottle in my hand. So I didn't know what happened. And another vendor in the aisle on Pepsi or something came running up to me. My glasses were knocked off. My mask was knocked off. I would have been knocked to the ground except that my cart was there. I fell against the cart. So the manager within a moment, the manager came over and my eye already had swelled shut. And so I paid for my things in the cart and came home, and my eye and my nose got
Okay, so you were injured. All right, I don't have to be specific. You were injured, and now what?
Well, their insurance company called me, and they're talking about compensation, but they're not saying a number, and I don't know what it's worth.
Yeah, well, I don't either.
I don't either.
It depends how extensive your damage is. And you're not permanently damaged. Now we do have to go back to your injury. Your eye swelled shut. What else?
It became black and the bruising.
That's what black eyes do. They become black. So you had a black eye.
Right.
All right. So you had a black eye.
Black swollen face for a week and, you know, a lot of pain and throbbing in my nose.
Yeah, that's why God invented aspirin. I know. All right. So you had a black eye and you had a sore face for a week and it was mottled and horrible and black and blue, et cetera, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, and you want to know what that's worth? Okay, medical expenses, certainly, and maybe a few $100s is what they're going to offer you. And if you say no, which you can, you negotiate with them. If you go to a lawyer, the lawyer is going to look at you, and two things are going to happen. The lawyer is going to say, those are not enough damages. You haven't been injured enough for us to proceed because I can't make any money on this at all. And the lawyer will probably say, and you probably look better with your face all black and blue than you do now. So it's a question of a few $100s if they offer it, by the way. But then that's my opinion. I don't even think that's worth going to a PI attorney for because that's you had a black eye. You know, and it hurt for a week. Okay, what's that worth? $100,000? This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Welcome back. Bill Handle here on a Saturday. This is Handle on the Law. Marginal legal advice. James. Hello, James. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Hello?
Yes, James.
Hi. I'm calling regarding marriage and sole property in California. I live in LA.
Uh-huh.
And what's the impact to the other spouse if their name is not in the title, but the title is read married and sole separate property?
Okay, all right. James, I'm having a hard time understanding what you're saying. So we have to take it a little bit slower, a little bit better diction. So let's try that again.
Okay. My question is regarding when a title reads married and sole property. So
okay.
If there is a divorce, what will happen to the other partner?
Okay.
That the name is not on the title.
Well, it's a couple things. It's when the property was bought, and if it's in only one of the spouse's names, as considered separate property, it stays with the spouse. If both names are on the property, then it's half and half. And so it depends on how the property is held. It's just that simple. Are you thinking of getting divorced?
No, but the property was bought during marriage.
If it was bought during marriage and it was community assets that bought it, then it's both properties. And when they get divorced, they just split the property up. They sell it, they split the assets, or they just keep on owning it together, or maybe renting it. So again, if it was bought during the marriage with community's assets, it's both. It doesn't really even matter whose name it's in. If it was bought later on, or before and brought into the marriage, then it belongs to the spouse, the person who, owned the property. I think I had it right. Anyway, so much for that. Hal, let me tell you about malware. One in four people had malware on their connected device in the past year. Malware captures personal data, turns on your webcam. So let me tell you about Norton 360. I'm a fan. I've been a customer for years. You can stay more private, more secure with Norton 360. Here's what you get. Real-time protection against existing and emerging threats. that puts your information at risk, and it includes device security and a VPN, virtual private network for online privacy. This uses a bank-grade encryption to help keep your information, your logins, your passwords, private, secure when you're on Wi-Fi, even public Wi-Fi, even password-protected Wi-Fi. This is bank-grade stuff. A password manager that creates, stores, manages passwords, credit card information, and a safe cam, which will notify you if the cyber criminals try to use your PC webcam. So you'll be able to dance naked whenever you want in your living room. No one can prevent all cybercrime, but Norton 360, this is a powerful ally for your cyber safety. Get up to 50% off your first year with an annual subscription at Norton.com/handle. Norton.com/handle. This is Handle on the Law. And good morning, Bill Handel here on a Saturday morning. Boy, next week, well, the countdown is right now, a week from Tuesday, and this whole thing blows up. Our election, boy, what an election cycle that is. And of course, I'll be talking about it all through the week and right into Election Day, and then there'll be plenty of KFI coverage that evening. This is the show where you get all kinds of really great legal advice. Well, no, that's the other show. I'm sorry. This is not that show. But if you want to ask me some legal questions, let me give you the phone number to call, 800-520-1534. Top of the hour, always the best time to call. And then throughout the hour, I'm going to tell you how you can stay on the phone as we end the show, because I've now gotten into the habit of taking everybody's phone calls that are left holding. 800-520-1534. This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice, where I, Bill Handel, tell you, whatever your name is, you have absolutely no case. This past week, Purdue Pharmacy, the biggest makers of opiates in the United States, the world actually, settled with the federal government and is paying, I think, $8 billion. And in addition, the company is going to be a public trust company where it's going to be there for the benefit of the public. Very unusual. The Sackler family, which owns Purdue, it's a privately owned company, they're out of it. They have nothing more to do with the company that they own. And they're under investigation. And the company itself pled guilty to three felonies. Fraud, failure to state honestly the facts and the statistics that the government asked them to do with any pharmaceutical company. I mean, it was horrible. And they pled guilty. That you don't very often see a corporation pleading guilty to a criminal charge. And then, of course, the individuals are on a different level, too. So here's what's happening. Federal government also is looking at Walmart, because Walmart is one of the big players in selling opioids. And their defense is going to be these were legitimate, these were prescriptions, and all we did was fill them. And we know where that's going to go. So you know what Walmart did? Even before any charges were filed against it, Walmart is simply being investigated, they have sued. They have sued the Justice Department to stop the investigation and ask the judge to, in advance, declare them not liable. It's a preemptive lawsuit. Almost never happens because, first of all, the courts don't like preemptive stuff. You have to have a real case, and there is no case here. There's only an investigation going on. It is very unusual. It's a very aggressive tactic with a company that's already in talks with the government. But this isn't talks with the government. This is going to court, which is separate than the government. We have remember, our entire government is we have executive, we have judicial, and we have congressional. So they're separate. So the executive is where they're having their discussions with the Department of Justice. Well, separate from that are the courts. And they're going to the courts to ask the court to preemptively declare there's nothing here. Very unusual. Is it going to happen? No, of course not. This opioid thing, well, it's coming home to roost. I mean, a lot of people died because of this opioid business. And Purdue, they knew. First of all, they lied to the government. They said, oh, no, we have a very robust program to fight opioid addiction. They said that outright. They didn't exist. We didn't know how dangerous it was. There was the evidence. And then they're also accused of paying doctors to write prescriptions. Also illegal. Okay, so much for that. Good news there. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Bob, you have an interesting one. I don't know if I've ever heard this one. Bob, welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hello. I have a two-acre vacant piece of land in Yuma, Arizona. And for almost 2 months now, there's been a truck parked on it, a huge 18-wheeler cab and trailer. It's got the company information on the side of the door. And the police alerted me to it. It's got graffiti on it now. I called the company, tried to call the company in a California city, and they would not answer. I wrote a letter to them saying, please remove it. I could have it towed legally, and you pay for that, including storage costs. No answer. So I went back to the Yuma police, and they said, and I asked, can I claim this? It's abandoned property. They said, maybe. You've got to go through the process. And so I sent them registered mail. I also sent them certified mail saying, please get your truck. I'm trying to save you money. Otherwise, I'll take appropriate action. My question is, can I claim this as abandoned property?
Yeah, you might. Now, it's not just property you're going to take into and take it unless you're going to salvage a truck. Are you planning on just taking it and selling it for scrap, or do you plan on driving it around?
It's an 18-wheeler. I'm not about to drive it.
All right.
I would like to sell it for whatever it's worth, and I'm sure it's worth a lot.
Well, if it is worth a lot, then you're going to be selling it as a vehicle. And you have to own the vehicle to sell it. So, and that's exactly what I would tell you, what the cops told you. Maybe. So you call the Department of Motor Vehicles. Because they're the ones that register vehicles and that you transfer ownership through the DMV, as well as licensing and all of that, and ask them that exact question. A vehicle has been abandoned on my property. I have done. Here's everything I've done. And good for you walking in with all that. The certified, the emails, the phone calls, all of that, saying, I've done it all. It's just on my property. How then do I get ownership of it legally? Abandoned property, absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's an issue there. But I don't think you can turn around and sell it as a vehicle. No one can buy it as a vehicle. You can't register it unless you have title. And you have to have title from the owner. And clearly, no one's getting title from the owner because they won't answer any phone calls. Call the DMV. I'm sure there's a way. There's an end round here. I think you're gonna get it. Is it in decent shape?
Yeah. I haven't broken into it yet. I hope there's not a dead body in the sleeper cab.
Yeah, you would smell it. You would.
Unless... No, your answer is basically what the Yuma police said.
Okay.
You've got to go through the process, make a good faith effort,
okay.
And I'll do that.
You've done it all. I mean, good for you, and that's exactly it. I've never had that question before, which is pretty important. Or pretty entertaining. Bill, how about you? Welcome to Handle on the Law. Go, Bill, go ahead. Hello, Bill. All right, we'll put Bill on hold and maybe he'll show up. Marianne. Hello, Marianne. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. If a lawyer has no liability insurance, can you sue him at a civil level?
Yeah, of course you can. Well, you can't sue him on a criminal level. Of course, liability insurance merely is that in the event he loses, the insurance company pays on his behalf.
Okay.
Or the insurance, or also what a lot of people don't understand is liability insurance also includes defense costs. In other words, if he has liability insurance, you have a shot at actually getting some money. Now, is this an issue that you currently have with a lawyer?
I did, but it goes into a trust situation. And I was a trustee. The story is too long.
I'm already bored. But the issue is, or the question is, can you sue a lawyer with no liability insurance? Absolutely. On the other hand, how much money does a lawyer have who can't afford or decides not to have liability insurance? You have to look at that, too. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI, AM 640.
And I'm calling out, get up, move on. Get up, what's taking so long? Get up.
Welcome back. Bill Handle here on a Saturday morning. And still have some line. Actually, yeah, we do. 800-520-1534. Coming up at the end of the show, before I lock out, I'm going to give you a phone number. You'll still be able to call in and talk to me, but I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on. Let's return. More Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice. Gary. Hello, Gary. You're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law. Okay, Gary just dropped out. Good for you. I hope Gary was waiting for an hour and a half when we lose him. God, I love phones, don't you? Narato. Do I have that right? Narato? Hello, Narato. All right, we'll put Narato on hold. Kim, let's try you. Hello, Kim. Are you up?
Hi, how are
you? There you
I'm
go.
Here. How are you?
There, well, that we didn't quite do the hat trick. Okay, what can I do for you, Kim?
Okay, so I had a pool built, and we're down to, it's done, but we found a major issue where the concrete wasn't sloped correctly in one area, and it doesn't go down the drain, it just puddles, it's just a hot mess, and now the pool builder, of course, is like, well, we're done, so I want my money, final inspection type thing, but we feel like this is a major issue.
Yeah, sure it is.
We don't want to pay. Not that we don't want to pay, but we feel like something needs to be done about this. And the pool builder's telling me, well, we don't have a warranty on concrete. Well, but you did like a... Yeah,
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean, you don't have warranty on concrete?
I don't
know.
That
makes no sense. How much money do you still owe him?
About $5,000, and now he's threatening mechanics lien.
Well, let him try. And here is what happens. He can put a mechanics lien on, but here is what I suggest you do. Is number one, do you need a lawyer letter? Not at this point. Is say, hey, you just didn't do your job. This isn't a warranty as to the concrete. This pool doesn't drain. And you're the one. And if you throw a mechanics lien on this, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to bond to the mechanics lien. That's for starters. I am going to finish this job, charge you for it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go after you for putting a faulty or putting an illegal mechanics lien on there. Now, that's an issue, I don't know. Is he going to go that far? What I would do is you tell him, I want that fixed or you don't get the $5,000. And that's it. There's nothing more to be said. Don't give me this no warranties on concrete crap. That makes no sense. The concrete is not failing. His ability to have done the job. And just say, $5,000, tell you what, take me to court. And if you put a lien on the house, then we're full-blown legal battle. Then it becomes, I have a lawyer, you have a lawyer, and I'm going to win. Because you're the one that didn't do the job properly. Right there, I'm going to win. It's a question of negotiation, and I think it's going to be cheaper for him just to do the job. And that saw cut the concrete. You tell him, listen, saw cut the concrete, re-pour it so there's proper drainage. Come on. I mean, literally, is this the way you do your work? Now, it's kind of crazy. And the big issue is the mechanics lien, because they always threaten those, and you can bond to them, but then it's done. All right, Dave. Hello, Dave. Welcome to Handle on the Law. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Handle. Morning, Mr. Handel. How are you?
Yeah, let's just go on. Not good, but that's my problem and you don't care. All right, what can I do for you?
Well, the reason why I was calling, sir, is first I wanted to thank you for assisting me with my nightmare, and thank you for your privileged info. My situation is this. Back in 2010, I had back surgery, L4, L5, lilectomy. On August 2018, I got on the Metro bus. Bus driver is looking at her cell phone. She ran a stop sign. I had to take a horrific step forward to prevent myself from going through the windshield as I was standing next to her. Police and ambulance show up. They asked me if I needed assistance. I told them that I was feeling a terrible pain down my right leg, but I told them I was going to try to walk it off. Once I got, the bus was literally like less than 3 blocks from my home. Once I got 30 yards away, I made a terrible mistake. The following day, I went to LA County Hospital. Then in October, I could no longer walk. I couldn't get out of bed. I called many lawyers from my bed, and basically the police and Metro have denied the accident ever occurring. Then, as I stated around October, I couldn't get out of bed. I hired an attorney from my bed. I won't say his name, but basically I made an appointment to speak with him. He denied me. And then around April, he ended up dropping my representation. I had under pharmaceutical strength. I had to go down to the Stanley Mosque. I filed my claim. I have my appointment in court sometime in April of next year. My question, sir, is no lawyer wants to assist me because I have not been able to get an accident claim on this. Can you please assist me? I called the police.
Yes. All right. Have you gone to Handle on the Law? Have you gone to my website yet?
Yes, I did. And I did speak to your lawyer. He was great. And unfortunately, he was unable to assist me. And I still can't get the police report.
Yeah, but you've asked for a police report. But if it doesn't exist, if there is no accident that exists, as far as they're concerned, a police report about what? You're saying that there was a report that was taken.
No, what I'm stating is the bus that I was on ran an intersection.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Smashed into what?
A white automobile.
And, wow, and you were injured this badly and no attorney's willing to take that?
Sir, I have called.
I don't know. Okay.
And I don't want to say the guy's name, but
no,
he was
you don't want
lawyer.
To. I'm not even arguing that. But the point is, if you have called all the lawyers and you've called people on my website, then I don't know where else we can go on this one. I mean, sometimes I just can't help. I can't even give you bad legal advice, which is really depressing for me. October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And this is all about us being reminded, if you connect it, protect it. I like that. And we're all encouraged to take the steps we need to enhance our cybersecurity, protect our part of the cyberspace. And so every day we put our information out there on the internet. And if you're just monitoring your credit, you could miss. Actually, I'm guaranteeing you will miss certain identity threats, which is why LifeLock comes in here. And I've been a customer of LifeLock and my family, I don't know, 12 years. And if you become a victim of identity theft, LifeLock can help you restore your identity far easier than you can do on your own. Even if they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they send you an alert immediately. Now, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor every transaction at every single business, but LifeLock sees those threats, the overwhelming majority of those threats that you're probably going to miss on your own. Join, save up to 25% off your first year. Use the promo code HANDLE. Call 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE, or visit LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. This is Handle on the Law. Welcome back. Bill Handel here on a Saturday morning. We do have some lines open. And this has been the most empty we've had all morning long. So now is a good time to call in if you have a question. 800-520-1534. 800-520-1534. And as we end the show in about half an hour, give or take, and I'll do the lockout, stay tuned. If you're on or stay on the phone, if you're already on hold, I will go through all of the phone calls so I don't cut people off anymore. Well, I do, but I'll answer any call that's still on hold. So you don't have to go away. I'll do that off the air as Leo comes aboard. Number 800-520-1534. and you're actually going to be able to get in this time around. Welcome back to Handle on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice, where I tell you you have a new case. Jeff, welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, so there you are.
Company,
yes.
Hey, thanks. My company recently upgraded its accounting software, and we paid extra for a specific internal control to be built in. Now the developer, they didn't do it right. They want to charge us an extra $7,000 to build it the way it needs to be. If we were at fault on anything, it would be that the statement of work wasn't really clear about how it needed to be done, but it was clear that it needed to be built. Anyway, though, so I want to know if we can sue for specific performance. And this company is a large Fortune 500 company with a lot of lawyers and everything.
So I'm concerned that
if we do go to small claims,
If you go to small claims, what?
My concern is that they're going to pull it into a larger court and then sue us for their attorney's fees if we don't win.
Well, it depends on what the contract says. Does the contract call for attorney's fees? We start with that.
The contract does say that if there are disputes, we have to go to big court up in their county, up in Northern California.
And does it? That's great. That's helpful for you. Does it also call for attorney's fees? In other words, prevailing party gets attorney's fees. Does it specifically say that?
I'm not sure offhand. I'd have to double check. But if it doesn't say that, then that wouldn't be the case.
Right. Then they can't. If it doesn't specifically say attorney's fees clause, then there are no attorney's fees whatsoever. There are certain exceptions where there are attorney's fees statutorily, certain constitutional cases and workers' comp, that sort of thing, where attorney's fees get their money come hell or high water. But not in a business breach of contract case. So you don't have to worry about attorney's fees. Legitimately, they will kick it up. You are absolutely right on. They will immediately kick it up to municipal superior court. So you're not going to end up in small claims even if you sue. Then the issue becomes, even though the contract doesn't do a good job of specifying how, I'm assuming it does a good job in specifying what's going to happen at the back end. This is what you have to do. This is what we want. I'm assuming that's pretty clear, right?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it says that, you know, if someone submits a water expense, A, B, and C need to approve. If someone submits a repair expense, D, E, and F need to approve. And it's supposed to work through it like that. The way they've designed it, you could submit water expense through D, E, and F approvals, not A, B, and C
But it's specific as to that it just didn't work the way the contract calls for. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Okay, then it doesn't matter anything else. When you say, well, it wasn't really clear, that to me is pretty clear as to what it was supposed to do. So now, for them to say we want $6,000 more to straighten out our screw-up, that's a problem. You know what we do? How much do you owe them? Oh, you don't owe them anything. They just want an extra $6,000.
I mean, overall, we signed a two-year contract. Implementation was $30,000, and it's $30,000 per year. So it's about $90,000 over 2 years.
And you could say they breached the, now you start negotiating and you say, hey, guys, you breached the contract. It's not fair for you. And I'd start using those words because you're not having a legal discussion yet, because once you kick into a legal discussion, then it's going to cost you some money, because then you're talking about lawyers. Then you're going to talk about them defending, especially if it's a big corporation. I think you just start talking, and maybe you negotiate. Maybe you simply say, okay, we'll pay three, even though we shouldn't pay. Because look at the other end. Let's make a practical decision here. Assuming you guys end up having the screaming match at each other, and it ends up at a legal point, you're going to say, God, I wish I had paid $3,000 for this not to have happened. That's where I would go first. This is one of those things where, okay, you're right. What's it going to cost you to prove you're right? A hell of a lot more money. So that's I've done that before, incidentally. I've absolutely done that. Nazar, or is that Nazar? Do I have that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
First of all, thank you for 2 times you helped me before with your advice.
Wow.
Now I have another issue. I don't know if I have to say the name of the company.
No, no, you don't have to.
Okay, so now I have a contract signed with one of the home warranty insurance like 5 months ago. And after 3 months, I call them, I have some problem with my dryer and washer. So they send somebody and he diagnoses and like overloaded. And I say, we are two elderly people living in the home. How can overload it? We are just working clothes. So they send another one. The another one, he gives some completely different diagnosis. So since then, like almost 2 months, yeah, we're going to have it. We're going to repair it. We're going to do it. We are the last thing their answer was, we are waiting for the manufacturer to produce this and we repair it. And so that's why I say, okay, guys, I don't want any service from you. I cancel my contract. But still, you are in charge of repairing them. So yesterday, I received a letter from them after like more than 2 months I have in this. It's the first letter saying that, it might take another month. Maybe we need another month to do it, and you have to keep paying for another month.
Okay, hang on a minute. So you're paying monthly charges for your appliance sir. Insurance?
Yes, sir.
That's weird. Usually it's an annual. And how much is your insurance for the appliances?
It is $50 for all home.
All right, $50 a month, about $600. Okay, got it. And now they're saying, is the reason they're saying that they can't repair it is because they have a part that they have ordered?
They have a part. They cannot find it.
Okay.
I understood from the...
All right, fair enough. So what's your question?
I am waiting your advice.
Okay, my advice is you keep on paying. Because what will happen if you pay, you have no insurance whatsoever. If it is legitimate that they're waiting for a part, I mean, they can give you all this crapola, overloaded, not overloaded, and then you have all the different stories. It doesn't matter. You're paying for insurance, and you get it. If they have ordered the part and the manufacturer says it is not available or they can't find the part, they can't be responsible for manufacturing the part. If it is no longer available and your appliance can't be fixed at all, it's out of it's uninsurable effectively. And you can negotiate with them saying, I'm going to pay less, I'm going to pay more. But if it's a question, you have to find out if they're telling the truth or not. And you say, what part specifically are you looking for? You call the manufacturer and say, I'm looking for part DR158. On this washing machine, you call the service department of the manufacturer and say, do you have that? Is it in stock? And then you have an idea of whether the insurance company is paying the truth, telling you the truth or not. It's one of those where you have to do a little homework. It's okay. That's what I would do. And then you don't know if they're lying or not. But keep in mind, especially when you buy... aftermarket insurance, appliance insurance, home insurance afterwards, not as part of the purchase when you're actually paying for it when you buy the appliance, is you are paying for an insurance company that hires people to say no. That's who they really pay for. If they have one repair guy out there, they'll have 10 people on the phone trained to say, nope, we're not going to pay, and sort of trained under all circumstances. Maybe I'm being a little hyperbolic, but not much. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Welcome back. Bill Handel here on a Saturday morning. As we end the show in just a couple of minutes, a few minutes, top of the hour. For those of you that are on a hold, stay put. I'm going to continue after the end of the show when Leo comes aboard to answer your questions. I'll do it off the air, but I'll still answer your question. And as we get to the end of the show, if you want to call in and the line will be busy, just wait a few minutes. Because I'll go, believe me, I hang up on people, and a call is going to last a couple of minutes, and then that line is open up. So feel free to call in now, and then if the lines are busy, just call in a few minutes after I go off the air, which I'm going to still keep taking phone calls, well, basically until I run out of phone calls. 800-520-1534. 800-520-1534. Back we go. More handle on the law. Dustin, you're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
How are you?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
All right. So I'm a plumbing subcontractor out of Texas, and I was given basically somebody said something to another contractor, and it irritated the owner of the job, the general contractor, and so he kicked me off the job, and he sent me this document that said, "This document is evidence of mutual release of all obligations, financial or otherwise, expressed or implied between Dustin, my last name, open parenthesis contractor, closed DBA as the name of my business, but okay. I'm not a DBA, I'm an LLC, and
none
he
of
never
it,
signed
no-
it.
None of it matters. None of it matters. The question is, did you sign it?
Did I sign it?
Yeah.
I did, but he didn't.
Yeah, but you signed it.
My last check.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to necessarily sign it. He hands you a document and says, sign it, and you accept those terms. It's not one of those where you both sign it. And the fact that it's an LLC instead of a DBA means nothing. Because what are you going to say? That's a technical issue. Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, you signed it. You agreed. Mutual releases, although it wouldn't have meant much if you didn't sign it. Because he has the right to throw you out of the job. And so, in the end, it really doesn't mean much. No harm, no foul. He fired you. You're done. Thank you. And all that signature business says you can't sue me. I can't sue you. And if you didn't intend to
That's
go after him, yeah, if you didn't intend to go after him, then don't worry about it. All right, John. Hey, John, you're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law. Karen, welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I have a question. I own a house and I have a mortgage, and I want to put it into my name and my son's name, joint tenants with right of survivorship.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming the mortgage would be that way also. And I'm wondering, does he have any liability if I get sued or anything while I'm alive?
No. Liability, no. The only thing that happens is the asset that you have can be gone after. Someone gets a judgment against you, they can go after the house. They actually can go after the entire house. But, you know, who's going to sue you for what? That, you know, the house is going to be up.
Before I do it, I just want to check. And
yeah.
Can I ask you one more question about it?
Sure, sure.
Why wouldn't somebody do that?
Do what?
Is there a downside to do that? Put their assets in joint tenants with right of survivorship.
The issue is, do you want the other joint tenant to own everything when you die? And then you're fine, and you put the property in joint tenancy. Then as soon as you die, it goes straight over to your son. There's no wills to worry about. There's no trust.
I don't know why everybody doesn't do that. Anyway,
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why people don't do that. Because people, for example, hold the property tenants in common. Let's say you and I together, we want to buy a piece of property, and we're going to be business partners, or we want to own a property, an apartment building together. I don't want you to have it when I die. I want my heirs to have my half.
And they would get your half of the
tenants
in common.
Yep. Right. That's
right.
And the, so
okay.
the yeah, you're fine. You're fine. All right. I want to remind everybody, we're ending the show, but if you're still on the phone, just hang on. I will get to you. As a matter of fact, there'll be no commercials, so I'll get to you rather quickly. And on top of that, if you're looking for an answer, and right now it's kind of busy, but right now just call and wait a few minutes. If it does run busy, and I'll be there to answer your phone call. 800-520-1534, 800-520-1534. This is Handle on the Law.